Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, tune in for a special edition of Sports Talk Saturday with Brian Cozio. This Saturday, 2 to 5 p.m., live at Batavia Downs. We're going to count down the 151st Kentucky Derby. Batavia Downs is hosting several exciting events, including the Derby Gala, the Park Place Derby Lunch Special, and a Derby Party at 34 Rush. Watch the thrilling Run for the Roses, enjoy delicious food, drink specials, and don't miss your chance to win Derby shirts and glasses and their exclusive drawings. Join the fun at Batavia Downs this Saturday. I won't be there, but I will be joining Brian on the phone at 3 o'clock on Saturday as part of this. We're going to talk some derby, some golf, some Elijah Moore joining the Bills, Bills roster, draft, everything. So we'll be doing that as well. Speaking of the derby, tomorrow, Josh will not be here tomorrow, but Evan will be in producing, and Evan and I will play Kentucky Derby Survivor. We're going to miss you, man. We're going to play Kentucky Derby Survivor.
I could call in.
Yeah, you could do that.
I could call in from the trails. I don't know where I'll be at.
We're going to eliminate horses one by one for whatever reason we want until we get to one horse to win the Kentucky Derby that we're going to be rooting for. So we'll do that tomorrow here on the Northtown and Automotive Extra Point Show. In the meantime, we're going to welcome in Jonathan Peterlin. He is a host on The Fan in Cleveland, 92.3. And we reached out to ask him a little bit about Elijah Moore and the Cleveland Browns draft. Jonathan, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Good to talk with you.
Sal, how's it going today? What's up?
I'm all right. I know you were on the station earlier this week, and this is before the Bills signed Elijah Moore. So now we got something actually concrete that has happened here. So I know it was a different time slot, too. So let's educate our Extra Point Show audience with Elijah Moore, the football player. He goes to Cleveland for a couple of years. Okay numbers, not the most incredibly productive, but why don't you tell us about his journey over the last 2 years and his time in Cleveland?
It's funny, when I joined the guys in the morning, I've known Joe for a long time. So, Joe asked me to come on, and I'm like, I didn't want to burst his bubble a little bit there. I was like, I don't think he's going to end up with the Bills. Like, I don't see that happening. And then here we are. So the morning show knew something that I didn't, that's for sure. And it's not because I had so much belief he was going to end up back in Cleveland. But there is a good spot here, obviously. As you guys know, Josh Allen makes everybody better. If I were to say any defense of Elijah Moore, he really had bad quarterback play over the past couple years. There was a lot of plays where Elijah Moore was open, and just whatever quarterback, pick your quarterback you want, whether that was Deshaun, whether that was Jameis, whether that was Flacco, whether that was P.J. Walker, whether it was DTR, they just didn't have the ability to get it to him. Now, I'm not saying he's a game changer. I'm not saying he's going to be great for you guys either. But I do think there was some left on the table there. What I will say in his behalf, though, Sal, and I think this is worth noting, he was a much better teammate and locker room guy, by all accounts and everyone I talked to, than when we were getting him from the Jets that everyone told me he was.
Hmm. What do you mean by that? You were hearing things that he's kind of a guy that they didn't really – that's why they maybe traded him? Maybe that he just wasn't fitting in personality-wise, but in Cleveland, no issues at all?
Well, with the Jets, what happened is that he got very frustrated in year two in particular about what was going on with his receptions – and his targets, and he was pretty vocal about what was going on with his lack of targets and receptions. And I didn't have any of that in Cleveland. I didn't hear any of that. I didn't see any of that. And by all accounts, everyone liked him.
Well, he had over 100 targets each of the last 2 years, right? So you can't say that they didn't at least try to incorporate him into the offense. And I guess that part of it at least was somebody that they at least thought that could really help them.
Yeah, I mean, no question. It's just the only thing I would say is I don't want to come on here sounding like Elijah Moore's publicist, because 5 years from now, I'll forget he even played for the Browns. I really don't want to give you guys the impression that you're getting something that's going to, like, drastically change your team and be amazing. I think there is some good football left in there, but there was way more forgettable games than there was memorable games. I referenced that Denver game where Jerry Jeudy played much better than he did in that game. But like, you get like two or three games a year with Elijah Moore where you're like, that's the talent, that's where it is. And outside of that, it's just a lot of just mediocre to even some games where he just was a complete non-factor.
All right, 5'10", 180, brings a little bit of speed here, but we've heard about his ability to separate. Doesn't have to be straight line down the field, but a route runner, separator. Yep. Very similar to what the Bills signed in Joshua Palmer, actually, to be honest with you. Would you agree with that? What kind of traits does he have as a receiver?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a go-ball guy, and he's going to be able to separate. He's going to be able to – and that's why I think Josh Allen will be great for him. You know, Josh Allen is so good with the deep throw and so much better as far as his accuracy as we watched him grow in the NFL. And so, like, I think there was a lot of opportunities, as I mentioned, where he was open deep. And whether it was a quarterback like DTR, for instance, that could only and would only look at half the field, or a PJ Walker that just wasn't able to get it to him when he was open. Like, there were often times where you looked at the tape afterwards and you're like, Elijah Moore had some separation there and something could have happened. And just nothing materialized.
He actually had, I'm looking, he has 20 carries in his NFL career. Did the Browns use him in any capacity where they'd like to get him the ball in other ways other than just throwing it to him down the field?
It was just every now and then you get like some of those like gadget plays that Stefanski likes. And that was really about it. Nothing memorable sticking out in that way.
Okay, Kevin Stefanski, speaking of him, what is his status going into this year? There's a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, but obviously they're also a team that did not finish well last year, didn't have a very good season. What's the fans' outlook on him, and where you think the organization's outlook is on him?
Organizationally, they're telling us that he's got time, but Sal, you've been around the NFL long enough. How is it that you're now in year six and you got one playoff win and you feel like you got the longest runway out of anybody in the NFL? Mm-hmm. Like, just make it make sense. That's just not how the league works. 6 years in, one playoff win, you should have been fired 3 years ago is how that works. So I'm of the belief that Stefanski's got to start showing people, now that you got a stacked quarterback room, and by stacked, I mean just being full, not necessarily stacked with talent, but a full quarterback room, you got to show people why you actually are the guy that you continue to think that you are in Kyle Shanahan. Make something out of nothing and show us your value. And if you can't, then yeah, I'd say get rid of him after this year. But organizationally, they really do believe in Stefanski and Barry and Paul DePodesta and that little trio they have built up. And Jimmy Haslam is, for the first time in a long time, shown extreme patience with a structure that he's built. And so if I were to tell you he's fired after this year, that would make sense to me. If I was running the team, he would have been fired after last year. But I think he's got a longer leash, and I think he feels like he's got a longer leash because so far it's been proven out.
Jonathan Peterlin, 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Everything you've heard over the last 5 days, putting it all together, what exactly happened with all of Shadur Sanders' stuff and ultimately getting to him, why they drafted him? We even watched the video, people wondering, was this a Haslam pick? It doesn't look like they're super excited. Are we reading too much into that? Just the whole situation specifically on him and drafting Dillon Gabriel before that, what do you make of it and how did it all play out?
All right, a couple things there. So I heard that it was not a Haslam pick, but I heard it from people within the Browns. So what do you think they're going to tell me? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
They're not going to tell me anything otherwise. So I believe it was a Haslam pick. I will go for as long as Shador is there, good or bad, giving credit or admonishing it to Jimmy Haslam. And on that front, if you're Haslam, I don't know why you'd even be shying away from this one. I think it's a good pick. I think there was good value there. Other thing, though, I have heard throughout the entire stretch, they did like Shador Sanders. Now, I mean, Shador maybe didn't do the best interviews with the Browns. Maybe wasn't the best as far as presenting his best foot forward. But, I mean, I was hearing from people on day two that if at the end of the second round Shador was there, the Browns were going to trade up and try to get him at that point. So I do believe they had an interest in him, and they liked his football abilities. And for the same reasons why they liked Dillon Gabriel, it's probably a lot of the same reasons they liked Shador Sanders. Like, the other day, I heard Stefanski talking about what he liked about Gabriel, and I didn't know he was talking about Gabriel at first. I thought he was describing Shador Sanders because he was saying tough, he was saying accurate, he was saying all these accomplishments that he had. And I was like, you might as well be talking about Shador. So I get why he'd like Shador, because if he loves Dylan Gabriel that much, they do share a lot of the same traits as far as a football acumen and everything else.
So the trade that happened on Thursday night, I didn't love it for Cleveland. I thought, hey, Travis Hunter's there. He's a generational talent to me. He can walk in and be your best offensive player, second best defensive player. But I understood why they did it. I get that part of it. Where do you fall, and what's been the reaction from, you know, the fan base?
Oh, so it made a lot of sense when we thought that the Browns are playing for the 2026 quarterback class.
Right.
Right. You get as many assets as you can. You get another first-round pick for 2026. That way you have two first-rounders, and if you want to trade up to get whatever quarterback that is, you got some ammo to do so. And then the rest of the draft, they took two quarterbacks, they took two running backs, and they kind of flipped that up on its head. That's why, like, right now the conversation we're having is, what exactly is the Browns' plan for next year? Are they trying to win? Are they trying to tank or do a mini rebuild to get the quarterback next year in 2026? Like, what exactly are they doing? And I think that's the hard part right now, is none of it's really clear. And you throw in some of the people's jobs and everything else that we talked about already, and you see how it gets muddy.
Who is the starting quarterback week one of the Cleveland Browns?
If you made me bet right now, I'd say Kenny Pickett or Shador Sanders.
Hmm.
I think Shador will either win it in the camp and he'll be the guy right away, or I think it'll be Kenny Pickett, and then Pickett will struggle for 4 or 5 weeks, and then it'll be Shador, and you go from there. But I don't see the value in Joe Flacco getting any of these snaps at this point. Hmm. I just don't. It makes no sense to me. And I get they like Joe. I get everything attached to that, but what's the advantage there? If you're about throwing darts on a dartboard, Sal, shouldn't you try to see what these young kids could do? So you can, at least you give them enough time to showcase if they have something or don't have anything.
I'm fascinated by that, because I think outside of Cleveland, you know, when you talk to people, I think the odds on would be Joe Flacco. But I totally agree what you're saying, and how if I was handicapping the team from your perspective, I'd say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, and this is all about, in many ways, too, Kevin Stefanski showcasing his value, right?
Yeah.
You get no credit for Joe Flacco coming in there and having a 5-6 win season or anything like that. You just don't. If Kenny Pickett comes in there and that's your Sam Darnold, if he comes in there and that's your Geno Smith, look what happens there. We think about Kevin O'Connell as if he walks on water now because he had one good season with Sam Darnold. Like it can be reshaping to how people view you. And so I think all that matters. But I'm about playing these young kids. I really am.
All right, buddy, you ready for London this year? I think the Browns are going to London, right?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I won't be going. I didn't go in 2017,
mm-hmm.
and thank goodness, because I watched Deshaun Kaiser just absolutely face plant and be bad at football. So I don't think it's worth the trip, but sounds like a fun time.
Well, listen, I mean, the Bills are on the road schedule to go to Cleveland. I don't know if we haven't talked. I do the podcast with Mike North every year, the schedule maker, and I mean, it's possible they could still have the Bills going to London to play the Cleveland Browns. So we're kind of on the watch for that. It could be in Ireland against the Steelers as well. But the Browns have only played one time there, right? They played the 2017. They haven't really had these other international games, and I understand they haven't been a team that resonates, but you know, these teams have been going over there now, and I think they've only had one of these international games.
Yeah, just the one, just that one in 2017, and that's it. And think about how long ago 2017 was. I mean, that was pre-Baker Mayfield is how long ago that was. It was the first year of Myles Garrett's career.
That's right. That's
a whole Hall of Fame career, and the Browns haven't been back.
Pre-Josh Allen as well. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. I'll let you get back to what you got to do at home there and, of course, on your show today at 2 on The Fan in Cleveland. I really appreciate you carving out some time today.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you. Sorry my daughter was loud in the background.
No, it's all. I love it. Hey, this is life, man. I totally understand. I've been there before, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Al.
All right,
Bye.
You got it. Yeah, you got it. That's life, man. That's good. That's good radio. It's fine. You reach out to the guys. I got to tell you about the Browns. My daughter, she's yelling about his daughter had an opinion about the Browns quarterback. That's what it was. Should have said, what's your daughter's opinion about the Browns quarterback? He's going to be like, I think that she's going to tell you the same thing. Kenny Pickett or Shador Sanders. I get it. If you, Josh, ask most people outside of Cleveland who's the starting quarterback week one, I think you're going to get a lot of Joe Flacco. Not everybody, but they're going to be like, oh, yeah. All these guys, you can, because here's why. If you take Shador in the first or second round, you're going right to him. Now that he's a fifth round pick, how many fifth round picks just show up and start in the NFL? I don't care what their name is, right? So you figure he has time now to kind of get in there, develop him. And in the meantime, you can try to win some games with Joe Flacco, who's a veteran. And then Pickett is Pickett. I don't know where he falls in.
I think it'd be really interesting to see if Pickett does get a shot at all this year. It's just like he's not been able to do it with two franchises now. I mean, granted, he didn't get much of a look in Philadelphia, but like Pittsburgh was just terrible. You know, like what is he going to do differently in just as bad of a situation, if not worse?
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, when he came out and he looked pretty good that first, you know, first couple games, the first game maybe, he was really on target, not throwing picks. And then he came to Buffalo and, Mason Rudolph came to Buffalo. But did Pickett play in the game? Didn't Pickett play in the game, the Gabe Davis game? I think Pickett started that game. You know which one I'm talking about, 98-yard catch for Gabe Davis? I think that was Pickett in that game. But then he goes to Philadelphia, obviously. He becomes a backup there. And now he's on to Cleveland. The Bills are on to Cleveland, or are they? Could be on to London, I guess. May 14th is the schedule release. We're going to be talking a lot about that over the next couple of weeks. Got a few minutes left here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Feel free to give a call if you want to jump in, get your opinion on Elijah Moore. Or tweet me at Sal Sports. Getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Back after this timeout here to wrap up your Thursday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.